sins unto you. We thank you, Lord, because you do love us so much. And may our love even come close to matching the love you have for us. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Those who can bring the offering would come forward. Kids can be dismissed for Kids Corner.
I want to thank Mary and the Sisters Without Habits for leading us this morning in worship. Thank you for those songs. They are a blessing to think of all those truths and what God has done for us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's encourage you to turn to Mark 14 as we continue to look at Jesus' last days here on earth. Let's pray together. Lord, what a privilege it is to know you. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to look at your word and to be reminded, Lord, of this precious redemptive story that we are able to be a part of. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love for us and all that you went through for us. And as we consider your word this morning, we ask that you would meet us today, and Lord, that you'd speak to each of our hearts, and that each one of us would be drawn closer to you, for we pray these things in your name. Amen. I wonder if, has anybody here ever experienced the pain of betrayal? On a pain meter, if there was such a thing, it would rank somewhere near the top, I'm sure. Some of us have experienced betrayal through the disloyalty of one we've considered a close friend, maybe even a family member. Others have experienced betrayal by a colleague at work, you know, someone who went behind your back, or they said some things about you that were untrue, and they gave their hearers a distorted impression of who you are and of what you value. Some here have experienced betrayal at the hands of your spouse. They were unfaithful to you, and the vows they made to you on their wedding day. At one time or another, we've probably all been betrayed by someone. And when you think about it, for that matter, we've probably also been the betrayer at some time in our lives. As we will see in our text for this morning, Jesus had the experience of being betrayed. In fact, betrayal, his betrayal, is the best known in all of history. In his case, he was well aware of who was going to betray him and how it was going to happen even before it occurred. Listen as Mark described what took place. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me here will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, Am I the one?" He replied, "It is one of you, 12, who is eating from this bowl with me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." It was probably on Thursday evening, around 6 o'clock, when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem with the 12 disciples at the upper room that had been prepared by Peter and John for their celebration of the Passover meal. They had to finish the meal by midnight. There was only one change in the old ritual which had been observed in Egypt centuries before. At that first Passover feast in Egypt, the meal had been eaten while standing. That had been a sign of haste, a sign of slaves escaping from slavery. In Jesus' day, the regulation was that the meal should be eaten while reclining, for that was a sign of a free man with a home and a country of his own. Today, most Jews observing Passover will sit around the table with family and friends, much like most of our families do during a Thanksgiving meal. I find this passage to be probably one of the most poignant in all of Scripture. It is a very moving and heart-rending description of what Jesus was experiencing at the time. And so this morning, as we look at his life, we kind of want to put ourselves in his position. Some have suggested that the words of Psalm 41, verse 9, a messianic psalm, a psalm of David, were being replayed in Jesus' head over and over again. In that passage, the psalmist says, "Even my friend, the one I trusted completely, the one who shared my food, has turned against me." There are certain elements in this passage that stir our hearts as we read them. I don't know about you, but they stir my heart. And the first one is this. Of all Jesus knew what was going to happen, he knew what was going to take place, and yet he still went to this celebration of Passover. He knew exactly what was going to take place, and yet he still went to Passover. We see in this his supreme courage, but even more, his supreme obedience, especially in these last hours of his life. I mean, if you think about it, it would have been easy for him to escape, would it not? Under the cover of darkness, he could have very easily left the city, and for that matter, the region, and even the country, and gone on with his life in some other place. He could have started all over again. And yet, undeterred, he went on with this journey whose final destination would bring about unbelievable suffering, like no man had ever suffered before and like no man has ever suffered since. It would ultimately bring about his death as well. With full knowledge of what lay ahead of him, Jesus was obedient to the will of his Father. Jesus could also see what no one else that night could see. We're told as they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me here will betray me." He could see into the heart of Judas. And the curious thing is that the other disciples seem to have had no suspicions whatsoever. In fact, Mark tells us, greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one?" The disciples are distraught over what Jesus has just told them. His words caused quite a stir among them. And they had heard on three different occasions that Jesus told them that he would die very soon. But to think that one of them would actually betray him saddened them greatly. And although the other disciples were confused by Jesus' words, Judas knew what he meant. Apparently, Judas was not the obvious betrayer. After all, he was the one of the disciples that they trusted with the bank account. Well, the disciples asked Jesus who the betrayer was. One right after the other asked, "Am I the one?" The Greek form of their question implied a negative answer. Each disciple hoped to clear himself and wondered if he had the courage to remain faithful at this time. Jesus answered by saying, "It is one of you, 12, who is eating from this bowl with me." At that time, food was often eaten from a common bowl into which everybody dipped their hand, you know. We could, you know, they would dip maybe meat or bread into this bowl. We can think of it today, you know, when you have salsa and you dip your salsa chips in there. Well, it was something like that. And in this case, during the meal, it might have been the bitter herbs that they were dipping into, or maybe even the salt water that was present during the Passover meal. Jesus' words here emphasize the treachery of the betrayer. I mean, think of it. To eat with a friend and then turn around and betray him was deceitfulness at its worst. Matthew records in chapter 26, verse 25 of his gospel, that even Judas asked this question, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus answered with these words, "You have said it." The answer was ambiguous enough so that only Judas would know that Jesus had identified him as the betrayer. But I thought about everything that was going on. Can you imagine for a moment what would have happened if Jesus told them, "Judas is the one who's going to betray me. Judas, he's the one that's going to betray me." Can you imagine what would have happened? It is almost certain that violence would have ensued. And Judas wouldn't have made it out of the room alive, but he would have gone out in a body bag. Because that's how much these men love Jesus. Here's something to remember in all of this. There may be things we succeed in hiding from our fellow believers, but we cannot hide them from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the searcher of the hearts of men, and he knows what's inside each one of us. As one has clearly put it as this, "Our thoughts lie open in your sight and naked to your glance. Our secret sins are in the light of your pure countenance." Jesus knows what's inside each and every one of us. We might hide it from others. We might think that nobody else knows. Jesus knows. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed indeed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Well, there was one at that table whose heart was impure. In verse 21, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must die as the Scriptures declared long ago, but how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." In this passage, one of the elements we see is that Jesus is offering Judas two things there at that Last Supper, during that Passover meal. First of all, I believe that he's making love's last appeal. It is as if he is saying to Judas, I know what you're going to do. Judas, I know what you're going to do. Will you still follow through with your plan? In other words, isn't it enough, Judas, that I know what you're going to do? Won't you resist that temptation to go forward? And then he offers him a last warning. He is telling Judas, in advance of the consequences he faces if he follows through with the treachery in his heart, when he says how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. There's something that we don't want to miss here. There is something that is very important for each one of us to grasp that is in this verse. And it's kind of hidden there because we focus on the person of Judas. But all of this is true for each and every one of us. For in this verse, we understand the way in which God deals with each one of us. With God, there is no compulsion. And what I mean by that is that God does not force or pressure or coerce or even persuade us to do the right thing. Without a doubt, Jesus could have stopped Judas, could he not? I mean, for one, he is the Son of God. He could have stopped Judas without a problem. And as we've already mentioned, all he had to do was tell the other 11 disciples what Judas was planning, and they would have taken matters into their own hands. And Judas would have never left the room alive. Herein lies the whole human situation. God has given each of us a will, and that will is free. In other words, he has given us the freedom to make our own choices and our own decisions. His love appeals to us. His truth warns us. But there is no compulsion. We are free to choose between good and evil. We are free to choose between right and wrong. God doesn't force us to make a decision. Every person, every one of us here, every person who has lived, who is living, who will live, has the choice to spurn the appeal of God's love and disregard the warning of his voice. Every one of us. In the end, there is no one but ourselves who is responsible for our sins, but us. God does not stop us. God does not stop us, whether we like that or not, from sinning. He seeks to help us to love him so much that his voice is the one that we listen to instead of all the other voices which call us away from him. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Denying Jesus, refusing his claim on our lives, and scoffing at his words bear serious consequences. Soon Judas would know in his heart that Jesus was right, as he would experience the repercussion of his actions and the full extent of Jesus' words of condemnation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let your life break down so tragically. Seeing the truth, don't deny it. Hearing the truth, don't refuse it. Knowing the truth, don't betray it. We shudder at Judas's cold-hearted hypocrisy as he sat there and as he shared the fellowship of this Passover meal with Jesus and the other disciples. I mean, we shudder at that. How disgusting, how horrible that was. It's easy to become enraged and shocked by what Judas did. And yet, professing commitment to Christ and then denying Him with one's life is also betraying Him. It is denying Christ's love to disobey Him. It is denying His truth to distrust Him. It is denying His deity to reject His authority. One question I think that we all need to ask ourselves is this: do our words and our actions match who we say we are in life? We say we're a Christian. We say we're a follower of Christ. Do our words and our actions match with that? If not, only you can decide, and only I can decide, for ourselves to change. I mean, consider a change of heart and mind that will protect you from making a terrible mistake. You see, God will allow you, and He will allow me, to choose our own way, whatever that is. He'll allow us to do that. He does not force us or coerce us into doing things His way. That's not how God does things. Rather, He desires that we grow so close in our relationship with Him that we choose His way through obedience. Judas later had to face the consequences of his sin of betrayal. And those consequences were so great that he took his own life. He tried to escape the utter grief and guilt and consequences that he was under. He tried to escape by taking his own life. But in fact, you'll be experiencing the consequences of those sins for all eternity. And it didn't have to go that way for him. It didn't have to go that way for Judas. If only he would have received love's last appeal from Jesus. If only he would have received that. Let me ask you this in closing. Is Jesus reaching out to you this morning? Is He offering you His love? Is He offering you His strength to resist maybe a temptation that you are under? Maybe it's not as severe as that of Judas, but you're under it. You're feeling the pressure of it. And you're battling as to what choice you're going to make. Don't betray Him by choosing to sin, but instead choose to receive the love and the strength that He's offering you right at this moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for how much You love us. And Lord, we know that You loved Judas as well. And how Your heart must have been broken that day to see this man make the choice and decision that he made. You knew this was coming, Lord, and yet You still love that man, and You still love each one of us. Lord, each one of us has felt probably at one time or another in our lives, or maybe many times, we've felt the pain of betrayal. Not to the degree that You have, Lord, but we've felt it, and some of us maybe even are living under that right now. Lord, help us if we are to learn to forgive and to move on. Lord, if we're right now in a place, any of us here, or in a place of choosing to do things our way instead of Your way, please get a hold of us, Lord. Please draw us close to You. Please increase our love for You. And help us to know Your strength in the midst of the battle. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
you please stand?
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow, and everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My Savior, You can move the mountains. God, You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, You conquered the grave.